Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start with a verse in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I want to say that one of the worst things can happen to us in our endeavoring to serve the Lord is a self-deception. And the Lord is trying to warn us against that and teaches us to be honest with ourselves, which is can be a hard thing to do. We naturally seem to judge ourselves inaccurately, for some reasons maybe too harshly, for some reasons not harshly enough. It's easy for me to look and see someone's bad behavior and condemn that behavior as being wrong, obviously. But it's easy for me to say of my bad behavior, I know that I don't mean it. I know that my heart really is okay, though my actions is bad because I really don't want to be bad. But today it's very important that we be honest about ourselves. It's the thing that will carry us all the way through in God. If we'll determine ourselves to be honest in our pursuit of God, that the Lord would be able to work with us. It's the only place that the Lord can really work with us is if we're honest. In the parable of the sower, the only place that brought forth fruit was that good ground that the Lord said that was a good and honest heart. It was willing to be able to say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong and I need the Lord to help me with it. That's the only avenue that we really have. In this 2 Corinthians 13, in the fifth verse, it says, examine yourselves. It's a duty for each one of us this morning. If you're here and you really want to, you really are interested in serving God, and you really want to make heaven, and you really want to be a successful Christian, then here's some really good advice. And this doesn't just end at the end of service. This is a good bit of advice for us as we go through life, that we're examining ourselves, that we're paying attention to our attitudes, our thoughts, how we respond, how we act to things, the way we think. I know God examines us, and I think the psalmist said, Lord, try me. Look into me. Let me know what I can't see for myself. It's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. But the Lord, again, puts a lot of this on our own court. He puts it on us and says, examine yourself. You pay attention as you go along to whether or not you're doing it right or not. And be honest about it. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I mean, what a challenge for us to examine ourselves. Prove for ourselves. Prove for yourself today. Be able to answer the question, Jesus Christ is in me. Honestly be able to answer that question. And you may say, well, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to begin to ask myself this question and answer it honestly, whether or not the Lord is in me. And so I'll start with this idea. Well, I'm a regular church goer. Well, that would have to fall on the positive side, I think. I can sit and say all the different things that make up my life, and at the end of it, I can kind of draw a line and say it adds up pretty good. But I want us to consider something. I want to think about a word, stress. You ever been under stress? Probably everyone in here would be able to say, I know what stress is. I've been under stress before. Stress is pressure or tension on a material object. It's the degree of pressure exerted on a material object measured in units of force. That's one definition. It's a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. When you test things for its quality, what it really has, if you want to do it accurately, if you really want to know what it is, you put it under stress. This last year we was in, I think it was Wichita. We went to a place called Cowtown. It was an old town that's set up out there as a tourist attraction, and it's set up just like the town would have been back in the 1870s, and it has all, and they actually have people there that work doing it. And I went to the blacksmith shop, and there was a blacksmith in there, and it was interesting to me because he was a young fellow with an earring in and tattoos, which didn't really go with the 1870s, but hey, you can only go so far with this. And so he's in there, but he's doing the blacksmith job. Real nice fellow, and I got to talking with him about, and he was a blacksmithing at the time. So the tourists come back and see him blacksmithing. Well, I went in and actually started talking to him about his blacksmithing, and he had taken this chunk of metal about this long and about that thick, so wide, and he had pounded it out. It took him a couple weeks to get to this point of working this, but he was making a sword, some kind of a broad short sword, some kind of a deal. It was a German replica of a sword, and he would heat it to a certain temperature, and he would pound it, and he'd heat it and pound it, and then he would put it in substances, maybe oils, and he would do all these things. And one of the things he said at the end of it, he was hanging it, stretching it, letting it dry at different temperatures, doing all this stuff that he understood and I didn't, but he was explaining the different things in it. But one of the things he said about this is of course, he's not going to be in battle with this. He's not going to be in battle. It's not going to be chinking on any armor it's just going to be this. But he was making it just the way it was to be made. And one of the things he said about this is I was asking about the success of it and all, and he said, oh no, it's just very tedious things. Because you can go through all of this time, all this effort, all of this stuff, and somewhere in the processing, you may develop a crack or a strain that don't really show up, and it's not until you put it under a stress test. When you start stressing it, then it's gonna show out what is really there in it. I don't know how you determine yourself, how you examine yourself, or how you would go about proving whether or not Christ is in you. But it would probably be a pretty faulty system to just look at the sunshiny days. It would probably be a pretty poor way of examining yourself to just say that I'm in pretty good health, I feel good, and my wife's treating me well, and my neighbors are all behaving, and I got everything going my way. I got money in the bank, and I got food, and I got everything's good, and I'm a good Christian. I'm good shape, been thinking right, doing right. But well, that's good that you can find that level of success there, but it really doesn't say who you probably really are. Do you know who you are in your stressful moments? Is who you are. you're not who you are in your fine moments. Or I'll say this, your public face doesn't say who you are. I mean, it's who we see you as. But that's not, your public face isn't who you are. It's when the stress of life bears down on you, the problems, the burdens, those kind of things. That's really more of an indicator of who you are and what you should really be dealing with. I don't know if anybody's in here threw the hammer this last week, but if you threw the hammer this last week, you probably ought to consider that moment better than the moment when you're sitting in the service and you're feeling some inspiration. I mean, if you really want to be honest about it and you don't want to be deceived about things, you really probably ought to look at the situations on what you're thinking about when somebody comes against you. When you have that moment of tension and that moment that comes, that's a better way of saying whether or not Christ is in me or not. There was some disciples one time that they said to the disciple, "Lord, you want us to call down fire on them?" Here's a good moment. Because the Lord said to them, basically in the idea of this message, "You've not got Christ in you." Because if you had Christ in you, it would make a difference in your life enough so you would be thinking like Christ thinks, and I didn't come to bring fire down on people. Now, if you've been thinking about bringing fire down on people, and this is not any condemnation, this is a self-examination message, but if you've been thinking about those kind of things, you might want to assess that maybe that there is a lack of Christ there. Because Christ didn't come to call down fire on people. He come that they might be saved. And He said, you don't know what spirit you're of that you'd want to call down fire on people. That's not what I do. And if you can see it otherwise, maybe we can talk. But I don't see Jesus throwing the hammer. It's just hard to imagine. I mean, it's really, really hard for me to imagine Him losing Himself to the point that He throws the hammer. That's hard to do. It's hard for me to think that He's upset and He kicks through and slams the screen door and kicks the cat. It's kind of hard to imagine Jesus doing that. And so, when we are under stress, who you are in the stressful moments, folks, is where we determine where we're at in life. So He says, prove to yourself whether Christ is in you. Because to be honest with you, I may get pretty accurate if you would let me tell around you all the time. Or if you would be willing to tell me all, write your journal and let me read it, and how you feel and you're really honest about it. Maybe I can look through there and say, I understand something about you. But then again, maybe not. But that's why I can't be with you. You can't be with me. It's a self-examination to whether or not the Lord is really in our lives or He's not in our lives. Whether I'm a reprobate or I'm not. Do you know just being among this group doesn't do it? Just because you're willing to come to the services doesn't do it? It takes more than that to do it. We need to have Christ in us. It's what it's all about. Folks, Christ came to make a difference. And do you know this word reprobate's really interesting? It means cast away or not accepted. You need to prove yourself that the Lord's in you, lest the Lord not accept you. And the God not accept you. That's an awful thing to think of. To think that I've lived, got saved 32 years ago, and to think at the end of it, the Lord's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." After, well, what am I doing? What am I doing? Does anyone in here ever feel frustration? I don't think it's wrong to feel frustration. There's some kind of a natural thing that goes along. We can feel that when things happen. Stress comes in. It's how we respond to that and what kind of power we have over it. Especially when it has to do with other people and it genders emotions. It genders feelings. It genders actions. It creates it in us. And Jesus, it did too. Jesus was touched by the things that went around Him too. But He responded a certain way. And Christ in us causes us to respond a certain way. When people do things to the Lord had ways of responding to it, and one of His responses was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. A care and concern for those that's doing wrong. I talked to a brother one time, and he was telling me a problem he had with people going to the Monarch meeting. And said, bring somebody to the Monarch meeting, and if they're not measured up just right or whatever, said somebody comes up to them and maybe they're a newly saved person and maybe they ain't measured up to the standards the way everybody would like or certain people would like, and so somebody comes up to them and gets on to them for you're not living right, you're not dressing right, and offends them, and then they leave and they never come back and they're saying things like that, and I said, well, that kind of proves that you've got an agenda. Why are you thinking it? Well, no, I know you care about that one. Who doesn't care about that one? But do you realize that that person that offended that little one in the Lord is going to have to meet God with it? What's your feelings towards that? Your feelings toward them is anger. It's upset. They need rebuke. They need done something with. Would you want to meet God with that? Now, I said, are you thinking about like Christ thinks? I mean, this person's going to have to meet God that way. Lord, help me. I don't want to offend people, then have to meet the Lord and Him ask me why I offended one of His little ones. So why do we get so narrow in our thinking? Is Christ in there? Am I thinking right about my fellow man? I mean, this all comes out under stressor. That bothers me. Well, it bothers me too. It's stress. It's strain. It's things that are... But am I thinking right? Lord, help us, because I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. And even the Lord isn't going to take the steps to do it. He says to us, you examine yourself. If you need help, you ask me. I'll bring the thing to light. I've told this story many times, but it was one of my growing up in the Lord stories. When I first got saved... newly married, and I just wanted to live for the Lord. I really did. I wanted to do it right. And I know I didn't know much, but I know that you're supposed to act right. I know that. You're supposed to act right. And so when me and my wife would get into a disagreement, if you want to call it that, I would swallow real hard sometimes, but I acted right. Because I wanted to serve God. You act right. So I acted right. And I kept swallowing and acting. Until one day, I'm coming off the mountain, 55 miles an hour. We was having a disagreement that happens. Stress happens. Things happen. And this was going on. And it seemed like I had swallowed one time too many. I just couldn't choke another one down. I'd acted right. I was blameless. I was acting right. Until that happened. And there was one more swallow. Wasn't going to swallow. 55 miles an hour. I locked that car up. I went sliding sideways. Man, I blew my top. I mean, blew up. Needless to say, after the steam went down, I felt terrible. I felt awful. I felt guilty. I felt lost, if you will. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this now? Not only that, I scared my wife half to death. She didn't want to drive with me anymore. I had all these things to deal with now, and I have to examine myself. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the technique. something's wrong with this. Well, I remember, I don't know if Brother Tony remembers this or not, but I went to the altar. Brother Tony come down with me and I told him what happened. And he went, Brother Martin, that's not the way you do it. Okay, Brother Tony, we're getting somewhere now. We don't do it that well. What do? You got to act right. Well, no, you're supposed to get victory over that as you go. You're supposed to. No, I was just swallowing one on another. I wasn't getting victory over anything. Just acting, I'm going to do it by my own force, my own strength. I'm going to do it. Well, there's. Listen, that's. Do you know that was God to me? That brought me to a moment of realization of something. That brought me to a higher place in the Lord. That boiling over, I wouldn't want to do it again. I hate it was wrong. But that boiling over was an examination of myself. It was when the dross comes out and you see plainly. And I couldn't say it was my wife. And I never told you, Brother Tony, that was my wife's fault. And not, it was Marty's fault. It was a self-examination. Under stress, I showed up who I was. I was good, not under stress. I went to church all the time. I testified. I acted right. I folded my hands at the right time. I humbled myself at the right. I done everything right at the right time. But when the stress started coming, it started showing who I really was. And you know what? It'll show you who you are. And if you're honest today, instead of looking at all the good points and all those, fine, that's great. Lord bless me. That's good. But you'll say, how did I respond at that place of stress? I can eliminate the stress many times by my environment. But who am I in the stress? What really do I have? Do I really have Christ? Because if I don't, I'm reprobate. That's really important, that I not be reprobate. I don't know what the next thing is. And I'll tell you, I've never been able to muster up. I mean, grace is a day-by-day work. You don't store it up in abundance. You can't get it. You've got to get it as it goes. I understand that. But yet, I don't know what I have. I need Christ in me to be able to walk in this life so that I do think right. Because it's easy to look at the worldly, the evil, the wicked, the drunkard, the drug addict, the rough, and it's easy to look at them with a certain kind of condemnation. It's easy to look at them without a heart for their salvation. It's easy to condemn people that aren't like us. It's easy for me to have contempt for religious ideas. That I don't respect. It's easy for me to think of those kind of ways. But is that the way Jesus did it? When somebody challenges me, is that the way? Lord help me. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except ye are reprobates. Over in Matthew, the 26th chapter, an interesting story here. 31st verse says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." I think this is very interesting because Jesus had performed many, many miracles in Peter's sight. Peter was one that was there from the start. He was very involved in the whole situation. He saw Jesus walk on the water and calm the seas. He healed the blind, the lame, the dumb. He cast out devils and conquered and done many, many, many things that he saw
and understood him. And when asked, who do men say that I am? Some Elias, some different prophets. But who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a big testimony. But he was so convinced of his self-inspection of himself that he argued with the Son of God. I am so convinced of who I am because the way I feel is so strong. I am confident in this. I am sure of it. I feel so strongly. Have you ever been in a good camp meeting before where you kind of get pumped? I've been in a number of them before to where I just, man, I'm ready to run this race. I mean, bring affliction on. I mean, I'm pumped. I can suffer some pain for the Lord. I can. Where's the cross? Where is the persecution? I'm ready. I want to see the glory of God. I'm pumped. This is exciting. This is. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. I've learned that emotions goes in like this, and I can hit one of those emotional things and just, Marty, calm yourself. Just get back on a steady thing, because the honest truth about it is you're going to come down off the clouds in a little bit. Just stay. But I've had those moments. Now, Peter has seen all of this, and Jesus tells him about himself here. You all are going to scatter. Okay? Peter, I'm going to warn you. This is for your own good, Peter. I'm going to tell you this so you're not too heartbroken here. The shepherd's going to be... they're going to smite the shepherd and the flock's going to be scattered. Because I know how I feel. I am so confident in the way... My assessment of myself is dead on about myself. But Peter's assessment of himself was a little lacking. He says to the Lord, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should offend because of thee, yet will I never offend thee. Now all the disciples say that too. Listen, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, now again, Jesus gets more specific, and I want to reiterate this. He calmed the seas. He walked on the water. He healed the blind, the dumb, the deaf. He healed the leper. He cast out demons. He done things that men couldn't do. He took legion out of the man. He done all of these things that said for a surety that he's the Son of God. The Son of God, the very testimony of the Son of God from the Old Testament was that he would know all things. Well, he knows all things, but he's wrong on this one. Lord, it ain't happening. Jesus gets specific. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. Do you think Peter was lying? Was he trying to fake him out? I think he was dead serious about what he thought. He believed it. He just believed it. But folks, listen. That's not who we are. We are who we are under stress. Now you can say better about who you are. When the stress test comes. See, my dad a few years ago told me he was kind of worried about it. Said they wanted to check his heart out. And he said, they're going to do a stress test on me. And I said, yeah, I think I've heard of that. Now they're going to... Well, he said, I don't know if I want to do that or not. No, I think that it's all right. Well, they got him on this... They got him walking on this deal. And they got his heart rate coming up. You know, because if the heart rate's... It doesn't say as much. They want to test it under a pressure, under a strain. They want to see what the heart... If the heart's keeping up, if it's doing what it's supposed to be rigorously. Because that's what the quality of the heart really is when it can do it under a load. Well, this is the way our lives is too. The Bible says examine yourself. Prove to yourself. Check it out. But be honest. How do you respond under the pressure of life? Is God, is Jesus there? Because I can act, people can act right, folks, just with good moral training. They can act right if there's no pressure on them. They can love them that love, you can love those that love you. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples, Lord, don't worry about this, we got your back. We're with you all. What if they if they're going to take me first? I'll stand in front of you. I'll be there and I'll fight it. And you know, I believe they all were just as sincere about that statement as they could be. It's just that they wasn't under stress to really understand that. Have you ever been there? Oh, I've had imaginations in my heart where, I mean, I had imaginations. I've had dreams and imaginations to about where I'd like to preach to Congress. I had these daydreams before where I had a message, Lord, and I'll preach to the Senate, or I'll preach to the Congress, or something like that. And then I get in a little old meeting with 10 or 12 people. I'm sitting saying, Lord, what am I getting nervous about having to get up? I'm going to say something like this. Yeah, you got big ideas, and if it ain't happening, if it's nothing really going on, I mean, those kind of things happen. I happen a lot in our minds. Yeah, I have no problem praying over everybody. I don't mind if everybody's around. I'll pray it out and let them hear me pray at these restaurants and stuff and get this and yeah, like that. And then you get there at the restaurant and you look at these people seem so indifferent about things and they seem so against you and all this. Then you, instead of that is, oh, Lord, we thank you. And well, nothing. Father, thank you for the food. You kind of wore yourself down. I was bold a while ago. What happened to me? Well, you're in reality. You're in the reality now. Who are you really? You missed the nail and hit your finger? Who are you really? Is that a praise the Lord moment for you? Or is that kick and storm throw the hammer across the floor? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying those kind of things really happen. And that'll say more than all the good times will. So he says, then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane and saith to the disciples, sit here. Well, we know the story. And the Lord went and prayed. And now here's the one that was going, listen, here's the one that's going to die for the Lord. One episode, they're ready to die for the Lord and will be there for you no matter what. And now they can't stay awake. Well, I meant when I wasn't so sleepy, Lord. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. You know, you wait till morning and I'll be fired. I'll be refreshed and I'll be a disciple. Well, wait a minute. You so sure there a while ago. Now, I know things change and you just listen. But I had a boss one time he was a great guy. I just couldn't call him after about 10 o'clock at night. Because he was trained courteous. He said things. He wasn't offensive to people. He was very trained about his behaviors. Unless he was sleepy. And if he was sleepy, he could be so rude, abrupt, and direct. And I remember saying, Lord, I kind of feel like that sometimes. Would you help me to always be courteous even if I feel this thing? I feel this sleepiness and all that, because there's got to be a change. Something. Lord's got to do something for you if He's in your life. Surely I ain't the same man that I have to be that way. Surely I don't have to be. And I'm just saying, Lord help us. I think there's an excuse for being half asleep and you don't know what's going on. But I don't know if there's an excuse for being ugly and rude or not. Under any circumstance, there's an excuse to say you was ugly and rude. Maybe the Lord's got more than that, and maybe under those kind of places we can say, is the Lord there? Lord, help feel that spot in my life. Just feel it. Well, they couldn't sit with the Lord and pray for it and went to sleep. So, you know, they ended up taking the Lord, and we know the story, but over in about the 75th verse. This is after the end. You remember how it come about? They come and said to Peter, Well, I'll read it in 69. It says, "Now Peter sat within the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." I wonder how easy that lie was to tell. Do you tell lies? Well, now the answer is supposed to be no. But I want to tell you, under normal circumstances, the answer is almost always no. But boy, the circumstances can get really tedious. And it can get really bad sometimes. And we find ourselves... Well, I'll just give you an example. I one time had my boss come to me and said, "Marty, I want you to do this job. Here's a job. I'm going to give it to you." And he said, "And I bidded this job too low. And it's tight. Really, really tight. And to whether we make any money off of this job or not, is to how well we run it. So here's the job under those circumstances. Now, here we go." So, I went and started the job this one day. I think it was actually started. I was done the job and got out, and things didn't go well. We didn't get there very well on time. We didn't get set up very quickly. We was wasting time. And then there was just a lot of fooling around happened that day. Just fooling around. We never really worked good. And we just fooled around, and I just didn't feel like that I'd done what I should have done. And that's the way the day went. Well, the next day, the boss looks at the job that was done, and he's like, "What's this?" And he called me, and now the men that was on the crew with me are standing there. And what is this? And you know, I don't remember exactly the way I did it, but there was this. I was able to say this stuff that just left my boss kind of thinking, "What did he just say?" I know he didn't. I mean, it was just the way I kind of got around it all. And you know, this and I was even kind of amazed at myself that I was able to have pulled that off like that. Well, and I took about 3 or 4 steps, and the man that was with me was standing right there. And I took 3 or 4 steps, and the Lord spoke to me so plain and said, "You're going to leave that like that?" And I just thought about the rest of the day. I thought about the fact that this is going to grow, and sometime or another, I'm going to have to tell the truth. The truth. And it was one of those stressful moments for me. And I turned back around and come over, and I said to my boss, "No, I didn't say that right. We fooled around yesterday and didn't do what we were supposed to do, and I'm sorry that we did it that way." And then the guys was like, "He actually did it." I said, "I'm sorry, it was totally my fault. Take responsibility for it. We just plain fooled around. We wasn't worthy of our pay. That's just the truth. What was." Well, he was caught in a moment. We was all caught in kind of a moment. And it wasn't pleasant on me. I say it wasn't really pleasant on me, but the Lord blessed me. And it was a whole lot better going home that day than it would have been. And I can still go saying that the Lord's favor is on me. And Lord, would you make it better? And would you help us to double time it next time? Lord, help us. And I'd pray better. Pray more about it. But you know what? That's who I was. I found under pressure that I fool around. I found under pressure that I'm willing under pressure to... I want to say this. I didn't feel like I directly lied. But under the sense that a lie is an attempt to deceive, there was some attempt to deceive just a little bit to get the pressure off of me there. Now, I'm a guy that just says it straight out. And you can say, "Well, Brother Marty, you real..." Yeah, that's exactly what I done. And I had to deal with that in a moment to get that thing right there. But I realized, Lord, I didn't handle that very well. You know, the Lord wants to show us those things about our own lives. And you're not going to get it in the sunshine. You're not going to get it in you're going to get it in the stressful moments of life. When it really comes down on it, that's when you're going to get it. And this is what happened to them. Peter says he told a lie. He just simply lied. He denied it. And he said, I know not what thou sayest. Then when he was gone out into the porch, another maiden saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. Now I'm telling you, getting down there now. He put an oath to this. I do not know the man. Now, in a very short time ago, his sincere thoughts and expressions was that I will die for you. And under pressure, he was lying about it. Can you imagine that? After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crowed. Now here's the whole scenario of a man that wanted to serve God, no doubt about it. He wanted to die for him, but that's not who he was. He wasn't at that place in his life. And he needed to be honest about that. To ever get to that kind of a place, he needed to be honest about it. The Lord God, Son of God, came and told him exactly who he was, and yet in his insistence about who he was, is it possible that I can miss who I am today? Is it possible that I can really love the Lord and want to serve the Lord, but that I haven't really got it? That I haven't really got a power of the Lord in my life? That under pressure I show up something altogether different? And you know, maybe this is an answer for why we see the continual circle that happens in people's lives, to where they get the emotional surge at a camp meeting and they come to the altar, but before long they're off again, and then they'll get an emotional surge at another camp meeting, but before long they're off again. Maybe they're not dealing with the reality of who they are under pressure, only dealing with who they are under the emotional part of the services. Well, because who you really are is who you are under pressure. I'm not who I am when you all are buttering me up and slapping me on the back and telling me you like me. I'm who you are when there's people saying I don't like you, and when you're not that, and there's lies being told and those kind of things. That's where it comes out about who I really am and my character. Well, after the third time he was cussing and swearing and being ugly, and they probably said, you're right, you ain't one of them. He ain't like that. Boy, Peter, you got it right when you said you don't know him. Because you don't know him. Oh, and Peter, the cock and the words of the Lord rang. I told you, Peter, you're not what you think you are. But I've come to make you what you want to be, but you're not what you think you are. This is who you really are, but you hang on. You hang on and we'll make a difference. Do you think Peter left this world like this old man? You know, history says that they come to crucify Peter and he asked to be crucified upside down because of this. He didn't feel worthy, and he remembered the old man, and he says one final time to the Lord, Lord, I want to show you I love you. The best I can do, make it worse on me than you had before. You can do it upside down and it surely be suffer or upside right, but you put me upside down and I want to give this last moment of my life to the Lord that loved me. And you know what? He didn't draw back from that one. He said, Lord, I love you. He had it right. When he assessed whether the Lord was in him or not, it come up true. The Lord is in there. Do you know there was another situation where there was a man in the Scripture and just kind of going along minding his own business, and Satan comes by and speaks with the Lord a little bit about him and says, and the Lord says to Satan, says, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. He hates evil. You consider him? Well, this was what Satan said about it. How do we know what he is? Let's put pressure and find out. Right? We're going to find out what Job's got because we're going to put him to the stress test. We're going to see whether he really is that or he's not that. And you know what? Pure gold. Pure gold. He didn't serve God for the money, for the herds, for the servants, for the health.
He served God because of God and who God was. And when he got the stress all through there, he bent it and twisted it and bowed it and it wouldn't break. It was solid all the way through. All the way through. Do you know that you're only as strong as your weakest link? It's an old saying concerning a chain. You can get the strongest of chains and of metal, but if it's got one weak link that can't hold up, the chain will break under pressure. Do you know that you're only as strong as your weakest place? That's why it's very important that we be careful of that besetting sin. That we pay attention to that, because I can be a devoted person. I can be a strong person in areas. I've seen it about myself. There are some things that naturally you may say that God can use. There are some things that the Lord has really helped me with that I can stand and be strong. But I'm only strong at the weakest spot, because that's where the devil comes in at. That's what's going to get me, is the weakest point. There was another man that had an exceptional strength in the Lord. And he sung songs and he killed giants and he done all that. But he found himself in a place and he told who he was. To some degree, we didn't see that about him before. But now all of a sudden, there's a man under a pressure, away from the Lord, not doing what he's supposed to do. And he falls to a pressure that was over him. Jonah was a preacher. Was he not? Jonah was a preacher. Well, what's that mean? He preaches? Well, if he was a preacher, I guess he was a preacher. He was somebody who was supposed to do that, so he must have been doing it. But then the Lord tells him to go do something that is, woo, down there? This is like Sin City. This is like the ultimate. I can't go down there and do that. Now the pressure's on. Oh, Jonah, you're a good, faithful servant. Yeah, go to Nineveh. Really? I mean, you want the stress? Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Well, go there. Well, now, wait a minute. Now the pressure's on. I really meant that. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I told the Lord when I got saved, Lord, you saved me, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I meant it. I just didn't know what all that was. I mean, I meant it, but whether I'm going to do it or not, now the pressure begins to build. Am I really willing to do the things that the Lord wants me to do? The pressure comes. And folks, we have a duty for our own souls to examine ourselves. To examine to whether I'm in the faith or not. That has to do with a lot to do with whether I'm living up to the Scriptures. I know we don't understand it all, but to am I in the faith? And to prove whether Christ is in me or not? Surely we have to have an understanding that Christ is dynamic. He's alive. He changes. He works things. If I have Christ in me, then it must mean something. What does it mean? If Christ is in me, should I have the same mind that He has? I think so. If Christ is in me, should I have the same spirit that He had? I would think so. If I have Christ in me, would I do what He does in the things, the places where He was persecuted and He performed? If I had Christ in me, would I perform that way? I mean, it must mean something to have Christ in you. It can't just be a statement. It can't just be a statement that I can make, or it's some superficial thing, or it's written in heaven that He is. No, it's got to be practical that He is. It's got to be actual. It's got to be experimental. It's got to work. If I've got Christ in me, then the attributes of Christ will come out of me. And it comes out most beautifully and most accurately under stress. When the stress of life comes, Lord, are you there? That's where I need you at. That's where I need this Christ at. I need to have it in those kind of places. And when you ever, have you ever been in a place that it seemed like the world's falling down around you? Or the old statement is, the rug's pulled out from under you. Everything that's solid seems to shift and you don't know up from down. You don't know what the next step's going to be and all those kind of places. Sounds like a good place to have the Lord. Sounds like a good place to be able to say in a testimony, my world was rocked. Things shook, the rug came out from under me, and I didn't know what to do. But Christ was there. He calmed my spirit. He gave me a power that I didn't have otherwise, because the Lord was there. I say that it has to make a difference. There's an analogy in the Scriptures for it. There was a time where the Lord was on a ship and He was asleep. And the disciples was up and the sea picked up and the sea was rough and tumultuous and the wind was blowing and the water was coming in on the ship and the disciples began to fret. They began to worry. I'm going to tell you, Jesus had done many miracles. He was the Son of God. They knew that. They followed Him as the Son of God. And now, here in this moment, under the stress, under the threat of death, under stress and not knowing, drowning and all the things, the darkness can come. It wasn't sunny and it wasn't shining and it wasn't warm and it wasn't pleasant. It was everything but that. And we're human and the emotions roll and all those things happen. And here's the analogy. Is it possible that that ship could have went down with Jesus on it? I mean, can you even consider in the scriptural, the story of the Scriptures, that this story could have been written any other way? How about us write it like this? And the sea picked up and it started swamping the ship and the ship started going down and they frantic and they run to the high part, but Jesus is on the underneath, but He was already underwater and the ship goes down and under. Really? No. Can't imagine such a thing as that. The Son of God is on the ship. It can't go down. It must mean something to have Him. It must mean my ship can't sink. It must mean there's victory in life. It must mean that there's not a stress or a problem or a difficulty that's too big for me to not perform righteously. It's got to mean it because the Lord's aboard. And I've got to prove that. Because it's the essence of salvation. If the Lord's aboard, that's my salvation. I can't go down if He's on board. The disciples went to Him and waking Him up. Lord, care us not that we perish. I mean, can you imagine asking the Lord such a thing? Do you not care? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, I could see in my human passion, I'm an arguer. I like debate. I mean, I like to get to the answers of things. Oh, what are you doing? I got to understand this. We're dying and you're sleeping. I mean, the sea's coming in on us and you're asleep. That seems to me like you don't care. You imagine saying such a thing to the Lord. You don't care. Well, I suppose He cared. He was really just letting His disciples be stressed for self-examination. So He could say, "Oh, ye of little faith, can a ship go down with the Maker of the universe on it? What are you all even thinking?" Well, I guess I got stressed out, Lord. I got excited. That's what I did. I just got excited. You ever get excited? That's a good time to know where your faith is when you get excited. Lord, help us. Lord, I know You're able. And I want to say this to their benefit in closing. The difference between the disciples after Pentecost was astounding. They didn't have those kind of moments after Pentecost. They had Christ aboard. And all of a sudden it looks like they're going to die. Peter's head's going to be took off and he goes to sleep. He goes to sleep in the jail. It wasn't none of this to care. Stop! Lord, You cannot care? No. The Master of the universe is aboard. He's in my heart. He's in my life. I can't go down. I can fulfill what the Lord wants me to. Lord, help us today to examine ourselves and to prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, that we're not reprobate. You pray for me.